You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast. Just part win. Of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your just team win. Every day.
Just win. Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast. I'm your boy Q on Twitter, as always, at your boy Q254. It's January 25th. It is Friday. The month is just about over, and we're still talking. We're still talking the Raiders offseason. We're having a good time. Got a lot of subjects to talk about. And something I talked about briefly on Thursday's episode was the whole dust-up with Derek Carr, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, and everything. Honestly, Raider Nation, I'm going to tell you, straight up, I'm going to tell you right now, I had no idea this was going to blow up the way it did. I thought me talking about it very briefly on the episode on Thursday was going to be enough. I had no idea that all of a sudden I was going to get calls and get radio requests and, hey, Q, can you be on the show today to talk about this? And you know what I'm saying? Like, I had no idea it was going to be this big. I really didn't. I played for you on Thursday's episode what was said about Derek Carr, and all of a sudden, you know, him firing back on Twitter and talking about he wanted to put, you know, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith in the octagon and all that stuff. That's all just fun and good times and all that good stuff. I had no idea it was going to blow up. Little did I know, I was hanging out Thirsty Thursdays at Walk-Ons in Central Texas, and all of a sudden, I'm seeing it on every TV screen. I'm seeing it on every sports show. I'm seeing every single talking head, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully. I'm just saying, I saw that on anybody who has a platform talking about it. I didn't realize it was that big a deal. I really didn't. I thought Max Kellerman said something that was silly, that saying Derek Carr didn't want it. You know, he acted like a quarterback that quit. Good stuff like that. You know, for him, it's good stuff like that because it draws a reaction. And I'll tell you right now, straight up, I told you already on Thursday's episode, I don't take shows like First Take. I don't take shows like Undisputed. I don't take shows like The Jump. I don't take any of those shows. I don't take them seriously. It's not a big deal. I wish that ESPN would go back to putting real people on talking sports and talking their real opinion and not what was basically scripted. Those shows I look at, I feel like they're scripted. I don't even know if Max Kellerman believed what he said. He's just talking because he has a huge platform and a lot of people will react to it. Simple as that. Like, I'm on ESPN Central Texas, and I'll say what's on my mind, and I have a pretty good platform, but it's not like their platform. But the thing that you get when you get with me, just like on this podcast, you'll always get 100% what's on my mind, the truth. It'll never be anything that I just want to say to get a rise out of anybody, because I don't care. I really don't. I don't care if you don't agree with me. I never care if you don't agree with me. But these guys that are in Bristol, these guys that are on these shows that are trying to push the issue and try to push the needle and try to really, really get those high ratings, they're saying whatever. They're doing a Skip Bayless. They're doing whatever they have to do to get a rise out of you. I'm just not that guy. I wish guys like me, and I don't mean me in particular, would be put in situations like that where they can actually speak their mind, not speak what has been scripted. And I don't know if like guys like Stephen A., Max Kellerman, Skip Bayless, Shannon Sharpe, I don't know if they script it or someone else scripts it, but you could tell that they have these debate shows for a reason. We don't always have to disagree, but we can still make good points and it can be entertaining. Look, I do it all the time. There's sometimes where my co-hosts on my show that I do on ESPN Central Texas agree with me, but we can still have good conversation. And then there's other times where I think they're out of their mind. And so I just say, you know what? Hey, no, that's wrong. And then we could talk about it, but you know it's authentic. It's real. It means something. You can hear the passion behind my voice and their voice. Whereas this is just like, no, I think LeBron stinks. He's not clutch. Oh, look, he's the best player in the league right now. You know what I mean? Like, it's just silly to hear some of the takes that they have and even concern yourself about it. So honestly, that's the approach I took to it when it was first blown up on Wednesday about Derek Carr, Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith, first take, all that good stuff. I thought, like, okay, nobody's really taking it seriously. Oh, man, was I wrong. I didn't know that it was this serious. I really didn't. So, look, this is the deal. I was on 940 ESPN in Fresno, California, with my man Christopher Gabriel, the one who had the Derek Carr interview. I was on his show on Thursday, and I told him straight up, like, okay, I get it, because he had his own takes on it, you know, and I could play the interview that I did with him, but I'll tell you straight up, he thought that Derek Carr should have took the high road and not say anything, and just was like, hey, you know, it is what it is, this show, because he knows those shows are exactly what I just pointed out to you. So in that case, Derek Carr should have just took the high road. But my point was like, hey, man, I'm glad he fired back. I'm glad he said something. I'm glad he wanted to, you know, get into it with him, get a little scrum with him. He needs to have a little bit of a backbone. He needs to fire back. I'm good with that. I'm never going to say like, oh, man, just take the high road. And look, this is coming from a guy who takes the high road on a lot of situations. I've taken the high road on a lot of situations just because I don't want to start anything. Because I'm that guy that's cut from the cloth where it's like, if you know what's going on, it's okay. As long as you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have to always hit everything head on because I'm angry about something. If I get angry about something, but I know that that's what's going on, I feel like knowing is half the battle. So I'm okay with it. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't do that. They want to fight every battle. I know damn well that in your lifetime, you can't fight every battle. You got to pick and choose. And I've learned that the more I've grown. And so I like the fact that Derek Carr fired back. I like the fact that he put them in their place, or tried to put them in their place at least. You know what I'm saying? Now, the whole fighting in the octagon and all that stuff, that was just, you know, Derek Carr popping off. He's not going to get in the ring and try to fight these guys, but he is trying to tell them, like, hey, man, you don't know me from Jack. You don't know who I am. You don't know what I'm about. You don't know anything. So I'm good with that. I love that he said that, because that's the kind of fire that I would have had. That's the kind of way I would have fired back at these cats. And that's what he should have done. You know, all the stuff about, like I said, the ring, UFC, Dana White, and all that. Look, Derek Carr ain't fighting nobody. He ain't getting out in the street and scrapping. Come on, man. He ain't cut from that club. Look, he might play in Oakland, but he ain't from Oakland. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's not that dude. He's not on Hegenberger throwing them bows. He's not that guy. You know, he ain't on East 14th scrapping. He ain't that dude. He ain't on 880 getting busy. No, that's not Derek Carr. Derek Carr's a good dude. But to see the fact that he had a little bit of spunk, a little bit of something in him, a little bit of fire in his belly, a little bit of something in his neck. My boss, David Smoke, always says something like, he likes athletes that have a little in their neck. And that's how he describes it, a little in their neck. You know what that means. If you're cut from that cloth, you know exactly what that means. Sometimes you got to have that, man. You got to have a little edge to you. I like it. I appreciate it. I'm glad that he has that edge. 2019 is going to be huge for Derek Carr, so he needs to have a little bit of edge. If he don't have that edge, he might not be the quarterback in 2020. I'm not saying that he will be. I won't say he's not going to be. I think 2019 is going to say a lot. So Derek Carr's got to get it done. But I like the fact that he's got that edge. I like the fact that when he interviewed with Christopher Gabriel from 940 ESPN, and I put the interview on the podcast, I like that he was honest about it. He wasn't, you know, post-game Derek Carr. He was open and honest, Derek Carr. He said a lot of things that people probably didn't expect that he would say. That's why it was so important to me that we played that interview on the podcast. I thought it was very important that everybody heard that interview, because it was a different side of Derek Carr that I haven't seen in a while. So I was good with that. I was absolutely good. I'm good with all this. Honestly, I hope people keep talking trash about him and he keeps getting a little bit in his neck, because I want to see him come out in 2019 with the guns blazing. I want to come see him with the guns blazing. You know what I'm saying? How great would it be to see Derek Carr just take over the league? Oh, okay. Okay, you guys think I'm terrible? You guys think I don't want it? Who's Max Kellerman? Come on, man. Max Kellerman is basically, he's a boxing dude. He's a guy who's got far better takes on boxing. And even then, I look at him a little side-eye like, come on, man. But again, that's what those shows are made for. So to see that Derek Carr responded to it, to see he got fired up about it, kind of made me feel like he's feeling it a little bit. He's feeling the heat a little bit. And regardless if that's from John Gruden, regardless if that's from fans, regardless who that's from, he's feeling it a little bit and he's kind of firing back. He's been on Twitter a lot this offseason, already responded to the fans, not in a disrespectful way, because he's a very respectful dude, but he's been responding back. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with all of this. But I just, honestly, I didn't know that this was going to blow up and be as big as it is. I had no idea. I thought it was going to be like, okay, yeah, Derek Carr, Max Kellerman, Stephen A., they're beefing. So what? Who cares? It's been on every stinking talk show ever since. I know he was on ESPN. He was on with Golic and Wingo, and I missed the interview. I did. Raider Nation, I'm sorry. Normally, I don't miss these kind of things, but I missed it. All I heard was the tail end of it when Golic said it was great to have Derek Carr to explain his side of things. And I know one of the things he really harped on was he questioned my character. Raider Nation, I'm telling you right now, and I know Mama Q listens to this podcast all the time, we are blue-collar cats. Mama Q's blue-collar. She has the best work ethic ever. When she was working, when she's retired, since she's been retired, she has the best work ethic ever. I am cut from that cloth. My character gets called into question, and I know my wife says all the time that that's one of my flaws, that I get offended when my character gets called into question. I don't think that's a flaw. The last thing I want to do is have my character, who I am, called into question. So when Derek Carr gets offended because his character has been called into question, I'm okay with that. Because me personally, I am the son of Mama Q. So if my character gets questioned, that means her character is being questioned. I am a reflection of her, just like my kids are a reflection of me. Also, I'm a reflection of my dad, Papa Q, not Papa Q in Northern Cali, but actually Papa Q lives in Vegas. believe that, right? Yeah, exactly. Daddy Myers. Let's call him Daddy Myers. I'm also a reflection of him. So if my character gets called into question, guess what? I'm going to defend it because that's all I have. If I were to pass today, only thing you could say is who I was as a person. I don't ever want my character, who I am, questioned. And so if Derek Carr is upset and fired up about his character being questioned, with Max Kellerman saying he didn't want it, he's soft, he's not a, you know, he's just out there to collect his paycheck, that's a serious allegation, regardless if you're working at the radio station or you're in the NFL. So I can't say I blame Derek Carr for that, because I would do the same thing. One of the few things that I get real upset about is if you question me. Oh, Q doesn't do this. Q doesn't do that. No, you know what, damn it? Q will run circles around you. Q's character and Q's work ethic are second to none. Straight up. I might not be the most talented dude in the building. I might not be the dude that everybody wants on their team. But I'll tell you right now, I'm the dude that's going to work the hardest. And you will not outwork me. You know why? I can control that. So that's my biggest key right there. So when Derek Carr fires back and is upset because people are questioning his character, I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. Matter of fact, I applaud him. So that's what I told my guy, Christopher Gabriel, on 940 ESPN. I said, hey, man, I ain't mad at him. I'm not mad because I agree that he should fire back. There's certain things that he might have been able to do a little bit different. Like I said, the octagon thing, the fighting in the ring, none of that was necessary because these guys are going to take it as literal. They're going to take it as like, oh, this is what, oh, he wants to get in the ring and fight. No, but he wants to let you know he's not that guy that you think he is. So I'm not mad, and I'm sorry that I took the whole first segment talking about this. I didn't think it was going to be that serious, but clearly it is. So that is my full take on First Take and ESPN and Derek Carr and Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. Didn't think it was going to be that serious, but clearly it is. So coming up in segment number two, coming up in segment number three, I got calls off that Locked On Raiders podcast voicemail line about a bunch of subjects, including Derek Carr, First Take, ESPN, all that good stuff. It's all coming up. It's the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number two of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Friday, January 25th, 2019. Man, can't wait till Sunday, matter of fact, flying out to Atlanta for Super Bowl 53 and going to be on Radio Row all week long. Matter of fact, don't get back in Central Texas till February 5th. That's right, the 5th. That's Tuesday. I don't know what the hell I got scheduled. I don't know what the hell the bosses got scheduled for me to be in Atlanta till February 5th. But I'm all right with it. I'm absolutely all right with it. We're going to have a good time, and hopefully I get a lot of good stuff that I can bring to the podcast and bring about the Raiders, but we will see. Either way, I'm excited. I'm fired up, and We'll also see how, you know, how the podcast goes in and out of all the craziness that's going to happen in Atlanta. But I promise you, going to have a lot of good stuff, and we'll bring some good stuff to the podcast. So in segment number two, I want to bring some calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Any subject is wide open like some TV antennas. WAP, he's going to start things off talking about the way he wants his team built as far as quick fix and longevity. Wants to see the Raiders do things the right way.
Hey Q, it's WAP. Man, I just listened to your last episode. Preach, man. You are, oh, amen. I've been saying this for a long time. I want longevity out of the team. I don't want this right now fixed for a moment, and then we got to go back to being sorry again. And I agree with you about what you said about Marshawn Lynch. You know, he did his thing. He did well. I'm glad he's on the team, but let's move forward. If he wants to play, great. But let's get some people in there that are useful. Other than that, everyone has these draft ideas of what we should be doing. Honestly, there's so many holes, it's hard to say where you need to go for, where you do free agency, because buying free agency is basically buying a used car with a lot of miles on it. You never know how much you're going to get out of the players. You don't even know, and a lot of times you pay them big, they don't really produce, so getting a running back, I'd rather go useful. I don't want to see them pick up Leonard Fournette. Le'Veon Bell, it'd be great, but we're going to pay for it, and he holds out. It's just, get us some use. And then, too, thanks. You had a great episode, like always. WAP out.
Good stuff right there from my man WAP. Glad to see he's back in on the regular rotation, calling in at 707-654-4693. Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, Daryl in L.A., he's calling to talk about Derek Carr, Max Kellerman, that whole situation, and it's pretty interesting what side of the fence he's on. I will say, I'm not sure that I agree with Daryl, but I respect his call. Here's my man Daryl in L.A.
Thank you. This is Daryl in L.A., and I just wanted to talk about Max Kellerman and his comments about Derek Carr. And, you know, honestly, I'm a big fan of Derek Carr. I really am. And I got to say, Max ain't all. I mean, there were moments, absolutely, there were moments, where you watch this season, you got to ask yourself, man, does this man want it? Because I don't know about you, but it's fourth down, and you need a first down, you're not throwing it in the dirt. I don't care if it's a bad play call. I don't care. You're not throwing it in the dirt. You're going to make a play. Try something. I don't care if it's a screen. You know you're going to take a hit. Try to do something. And, you know, I watched the entire season. I can tell you, there are absolutely moments you got to sit back and go, Derek, man, what's going on? There are throws where you're watching and you go, boy, I know you did not throw that. I'm not an NFL quarterback. I get it. When I'm watching the game, I see it. And there are moments, I don't know if you want to blame the offensive line isn't very good. He doesn't have a lot of help. I talked about that. Derek Carr doesn't have a lot of help around him. He doesn't have the talent around him. I like Derek Carr. But, yeah, man, there were moments there where you can honestly say, Derek, you don't look like you're trying. You don't look like you want this. You look like you're going home to a $100 million contract, got a beautiful wife and kids, and life is great. There were absolutely moments. You looked at that season, you were like, man, we ain't going nowhere, so I'm just going to stay healthy, get out of this season, and maybe next year. And I talked about the press conferences. Even those press conferences, man, it sounded like a man who was like, hey, I just don't want to get hurt. You know I made a bad play there, but, you know, it is what it is. I'll come back next week and try better. So I'm glad he's got some heart now. He's like, he's now talking smack online. So I just want to see it. I want to see it. I'm hoping the Raiders do pick up somebody. I don't care if it's Nick Foles or somebody to push him, to make him go out there and ball. Because we know he can do it. It's a matter of him doing it. All right, Q, man. Later.
Good stuff right there, Daryl in L.A. I appreciate you, man. I wish you had responded to the call that, or not the call, but the comments that I was talking about who runs L.A. You know what I mean? Is it Raiders? Is it Rams? Is it Chargers? I mean, who's the predominant team right now in L.A.? Obviously, the Lakers are doing their thing on the B-ball court, but just kind of wondering, Daryl. So if you get a chance, man, hit me back and let me know. 707-654-4693, or you can hit me on Twitter, at yourboyq254. Now, my man, Cooley, he's in Phoenix, Arizona, sharing his story on how he became a Raiders fan. And come to find out, my man spent some time in Santa Cruz, Cali. That was one of my go-to spots, dog. Back in the day, that was one of my go-to all the time. Santa Cruz, California. I'll tell you right now, me and this girl I was seeing at the time, and I know I say that all the time. I tell you guys about all these females that I'd be seeing back in the day when on the podcast. But Carla Rossi was her name. She was gorgeous. Carla Rossi is beautiful. If you know her, hey, well, she was beautiful back in the day. I don't know what she looks like now. But, you know, back in the day, man, she was the, man, she was the go-to. She was the da-da-da. You know what I'm saying? Like, she was better than that. Anyway, we used to go to Santa Cruz all the time, man. And we had a lot of good times there in Santa Cruz over the beach boardwalk. And I know I took my son, Little Q, all the time. He used to go and hang out with me. And Littler Q even went, you know. And at the time when I worked in Monterey, I had free passes to the boardwalk. So I used to take the kids all the time. But, boy, me and Carla, man, we used to kick it at Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk all the time. Anyway, enough about us. Cooley in Phoenix, Arizona. He's got his thoughts on, like I said, on becoming a Raiders fan. What's up, Cooley?
Hey, Q. Hey, Raider Nation. This is Cooley in Phoenix, Arizona. Little backstory on me. Not a real interesting story how I became a Raider fan. It, you know, it's basic logistics. I was born in 1971 in Santa Monica. My dad wasn't a football fan. That's what was on TV. The Raiders were on TV there. You know, I remember watching Jim Plunkett. I was pretty small then. Then I spent about half my life in L.A., the other half in Santa Cruz, California, obviously the Bay Area. So, that's pretty much why I'm a Raider fan. Out here in Arizona, there is a huge Raider Nation following. It's great. You know, everybody feels like your brother, your sister. It's really a close family. That's all I got. Later.
Good stuff, my man. And definitely appreciate the story on how you became a Raider fan. And I think that's awesome. And you're holding it down in Phoenix, Arizona right now. And shout out to you one more time for hanging out in Santa Cruz, California, and growing up and spending a lot of time there. Like I said, me and Carla Rossi. If you know Carla Rossi, tell her your boy Q said, what up, though? She was good people. Anyway, Whiskey. He's from the Jersey Shore. He's sharing his story on how he became a Raiders fan. Shared a couple of cool family stories and how that influenced him. Really good story, especially since he grew up around a bunch of Giants and Jets fans. My man Whiskey in the Jersey Shore. Haven't heard from him for a minute. Here he is.
Yo, Q. Boy, Whiskey down there at the Jersey Shore. I haven't called in a while, but still listening. I was just calling about the question about how you became a Raider fan. And, I live down here at the Jersey Shore, but I grew up in North Jersey. I lived there for 38 years of my life. It's about 12 miles away from Giant Stadium. So, when I was a young lad, my dad was heavy into gambling, and he didn't really root for a team. He's more of a Redskins fan than anything, but he would always have games on, and he had the Raiders on one day, and he just said to me, this is the most feared team in the league. When I asked him why, he was like, they're just a bunch of bad guys on that team. And that piqued my interest, and I was all over it because even as a young kid, I always rooted for the bad guy in anything. And, once I saw Howie Long, that was my guy, my favorite player of all time. Howie Long was playing, Marcus Allen, Jim Plunkett. On the defense, you had Howie, you had Al Dado and Matt Millen. Mike Haynes, all these guys, even later on, like Eddie Anderson, a bunch of guys that only we would know, but that's how I became a Raider fan, even though I grew up in Giant and Jet world up there, and now I live down here in Eagle Land, So, you know, but being a Raider fan, that's in you. That's your lifestyle. Even when it's not football season, man, that's just who we are inside. So that's how I became a Raider fan. And you know what? These giant Jet Eagle fans, they don't say nothing to me. So that's just how I roll. So Raider Nation out.
Great stuff right there from my man Whiskey in the Jersey Shore. Love that story. Love how you became a Raider fan, man. I'm glad you stuck with the silver and black, and I'm telling you right now, they will be back at some point. The Raiders will be back. Hopefully they're back on a long-term thing, not just a 1 year here, 1 year there. No, hopefully they're back for the long haul, and we'll see. We will definitely see. So good stuff right there from my man Whiskey in the Jersey Shore. All right, next call on the Locked On Raiders podcast on the voicemail line at 707-654-4693 from my man Blackjack. He's in San Antonio talking all things Derek Carr. Got John Gruden in this call. I think this is a really good call, something that you need to hear. Here's my man Black Jack from San Antonio.
Hey, what's good, Q? What's good, Raider Nation? This is Black Jack from San Antonio. The reason I want to call in, man, is I've been kind of like tripping on some things for a while. It's a theory that I had, man, about John Gruden and Derek Carr for a minute, even kind of when the season was playing out. And the theory is this, man, and I might be tripping, but the theory that I have is I'm kind of curious if John Gruden is trying to tough up Derek Carr. And I'm not saying physically, but more mentally. You know, he look at it and kind of like, hey, I'm going to strip away everything that this guy had for a moment as far as targets and things that in that nature would made him comfortable in Derek Carr. And see what happens. See how this guy can kind of achieve adversity through those kind of things by taking those weapons away from him, things that made him feel comfortable. See if this guy can become a leader on teach some of these new receivers, these younger receivers that they had, these plug and play guys, and kind of just test his mental aspect about it. I was just kind of tripping on that for a while, especially during the season. So I'm just kind of, you know, I might be tripping. But I think it's coming out more now as we see him, Derek Carr, that is, kind of not attacking the media, but coming out more saying, hey, I am the man for the job. And with the tweeting and things in that nature. And also you can kind of see it on the sideline when it's kind of going back and forth with John. So just kind of a theory. It might be a little crazy, but I just was just kind of on a trip about it for a while. And you kind of brought it up yesterday on the pod about how you like the grit and the toughness that you're seeing from him. But I was just tripping on that theory that I had about it, man. It's kind of crazy. But I could be wrong, but I just think, John was kind of trying to play him a little bit to see if he really had that mental toughness to be the quarterback that he wanted to mold him into. I kind of almost look at it as a kind of analogy of giving a guy a butter knife and dropping him off at Amazon to see if he could survive. But anyway, I just want to call in on that, man, see what you thought. Anyway, man, you have a good one.
All right, definitely appreciate that, my man. Good stuff from Blackjack in San Antonio. Coming up in segment number three, got more calls off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. That is the number. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders. Your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we are, segment number three today on this Locked On Raiders podcast. It is Friday, January 25th, 2019, 707-654-4693. That is the Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, phone number, and of course, definitely going to go to that. Got a lot of good calls that I want to get to and a lot of things that we want to say. So let's start things off. Regan in Montana, he's calling about the Senior Bowl, some things John Gruden mentioned, not to mention he's got to talk about a guy in particular, one guy that he kind of has to the side in particular. Lots of good stuff here from my man Regan in Montana. Here he is.
Q, what's up, man? It's Regan from Montana. How's everybody doing? I just wanted to make a follow-up call after listening to John Gruden's presser that you played and reading over the script again a little more in-depth and looking at some more players that he had mentioned on defense. And it's a name that I really haven't heard of until Gruden mentioned it. Who I guess is kind of projected to be somewhat of a sleeper, maybe even a second or third round pick. And that is Jalen Ferguson at a Law Tech, defensive end. And then I just pulled up his stats and I have them up here. One thing I like, well, he's in the Senior Bowl. He's obviously a senior. I really like when players finish out college and, you know, have played all 4 years. I really like that. But, so this year he has 38 solo tackles, 27 assisted tackles, 65 total tackles, 26 tackles for loss, and 17 and a half sacks this year. My gosh. Isn't that incredible? His sack total from 2015 to 2018, six sacks first. So this is, you know, from 15 to 18, six sacks, 14 and a half, seven, 17 and a half. Kind of a little over the place here, but I mean, 17 and a half sacks as a senior. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, you can't really, you can't snub your nose at numbers like that. And, you know, he's a big guy. He's 6'5", 262. And, just a great player. But, I highly encourage everybody to look up a highlight reel on YouTube, of Jaylon, Jaylon Ferguson, J-A-Y-L-O-N, Ferguson from La Tech. All right. That's it. Short and sweet today. All right. Peace out, Raider Nation.
Good stuff right there, my man. And, you know, I love the fact that you're pointing people out, because that's what we're doing right now. It's the Senior Bowl. It's draft season. Right now is what you need to do is find some guys, get familiar with them, because they could be members of the Silver and Black. And right now, John Gruden and company are getting a lot of good intel on these guys and figuring out if they could fit with this team. So again, I think the Senior Bowl experience with John Gruden and company is a very, very good thing, especially with my man Mike Mayock on board. Right now, let's go to the most known unknown in Philly. He's calling to talk about the beef between Max Kellerman, Stephen A., Derek Carr. He's letting his feelings be known about DC and the situation that's gone down. He has a really, really good take. Not a first take, but he has a really good take on this situation.
Yo, Q, just calling. I know everybody in Raider Nation has been keeping up with this social media thing between Stephen A., Max Kellerman, and Derek Carr. We're started with Kellerman's thoughts that Gruden was gushing over Kyler Murray because Derek Carr, as he says, didn't want it anymore and tapped out, basically. First of all, anybody with a brain knows that Gruden was clearly drumming up or gushing over Kyler Murray to hype up the trade value so that some fool would trade up and either jump ahead of the Raiders and push talent down to them or even trade with them for the pick. That's number one. And number two, I don't know what Max Kellerman's talking about. Carr didn't want it anymore. The man played pretty much 75% of the season with a broken back last year, but that's neither here nor there. I do kind of want to address Derek Carr and taking shots back at them. I don't think it was a wise decision. I like the feistiness from him, but here's why. Everybody knows that Carr was joking when he talked about getting in the octagon with those guys with the smiley face emojis and the laughing emojis. Anybody can clearly see this. But these guys, Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, number one, they have a bigger platform because they're on TV, national TV every day. And these guys are expert spin doctors and spin artists. All they're going to say is that they're taking the threat serious. Oh, Derek Carr, he's going to challenge us to a fight and all that. They're going to make him come out and say he was joking, even though everybody knows he was joking, and then they're going to make him out to be a coward and make him out to be backpedaling. They're going to completely ignore the fact that he added laughing emojis in there. He was clearly joking about actually fighting those guys, but they're going to make it seem like he was serious just so he can kind of retract his statement, and then they're going to make him out to be a coward. They're going to completely spin the thing back on him. It's going to be egg on his face, which is why I didn't agree with his response. Let me know what you guys think, and I'll holler back at y'all.
Great stuff right there from the most known unknown. I like that, but he wasn't done yet. No. He had to call back and talk about something that Vader Raider said. Like everything Vader Raider said, he was 100% with, especially on the other fan bases calling their teams Nation. And we all know, according to your boy, that don't exist. Something that drives me crazy, that does not exist. Either way, here's most known unknown from Philly. He's calling back a second time.
Yo, Q, most known unknown. I had to call back after I heard Vader Raider's call. For one, I know how it is holding it down amidst a fan base that you absolutely despise. I got stories about the one time I went to Lincoln Financial Field, which was 2017, Monday night, Christmas night, and that's a story for another time, but oh my goodness. It just solidified everything that I ever thought about Eagles fans, everything that I knew about Eagles fans. And, boy, I'm not one to get into scruffles. I'm too old for that nonsense, but I wouldn't have minded that night. I'm going to just leave it there. As far as this nonsense about other fan bases calling themselves Nation. Vader Raider, I'm with you, bro. I am with you. We need to get up a gang of cats. You know, some of our big time callers on the Locked On podcast. And just grab everybody. Everybody who wants to join. You know, I was an old school, not an old school, but I was a young lad growing up and a teenager in my early 20s. And my favorite factions was the NWO. To me, they were the wrestling personification of the Raiders. And who's around with that NWO music blasting with some NWO Raiders shirts. And we just put the stamp down on all these fraud fans that call up Nation. So, Vader Raider, I'm with you, brother.
Great stuff right there from my man, Most Known Unknown in Philly. And again, I could go on a long rant about the Nation whole term and everything. I can't stand it. Again, I'm not going to go on a big soapbox and go on a long rant about it, but because you guys have heard it plenty of times. I just can't stand it. Why do the Raiders call themselves Raider Nation in every single team? And I'm not talking in the NFL. I'm talking basketball, baseball, Little League, Pee Wee. You know what I'm saying? High school football, college, everything. Everyone all of a sudden wants to become a nation. There's no such thing. There's Raider Nation and nothing else. Either way, that's all I'm going to say about it. I'm not going to go on a long, like I said, long rant about it. I'm going to close out segment number three today with John Tran. He's from the ATL. I'll be in the ATL on Sunday afternoon. He's calling about the Derek Carr situation and what's been going on with Max Kellerman, Stephen A. Smith. He also speaks briefly on Mark Davis and John Gruden. This right here, ladies and gentlemen, very interesting call from my man John out the ATL.
Q, what up? This is John Train calling from Atlanta, man. Got to weigh in on this Derek Carr situation. First things first, man, I think starting at the top, I think that Mark Davis is a complete joke. I think that John Gruden has done a terrible job since he's been hired. I think that John Gruden is totally outmatched right now. Hopefully he proves me wrong. I doubt that he will. But like I said, I hope he does. Derek Carr, I think that he's exceptionally talented, but he's got one huge flaw in his game, and then that's his lack of pocket presence. I say all that just to make it clear that I'm not coming from a fanboy perspective here when I say, you know, that Max was really, really talking reckless on First Take, talking about, what do you say? He don't want it. Talking about Derek Carr. He don't want it. Man, are you crazy? You know, you can question a lot of things about Derek Carr, but saying that he don't want it, man, I mean, that's just an example of, you know, the reason I don't mess with that show, man. They really try and turn sports into a soap opera on that, and they really just have no idea what they're talking about. But as far as Derek Carr's reaction, I applaud it, and actually I compare it to the way Amari Cooper reacted in that Rams game, because when you are, you know, a quote-unquote nice guy, you humble, you do things the right way, you know, you say the right things, you do the right things, man. People take your kindness for weakness. And I think that's, you know, kind of what happened with Cooper and Derek Carr. Doesn't make them liars or frauds. It doesn't mean they change. It's just like, at a certain point, man, you had enough, man. You gotta stick up for yourself and let them know that, you know, I ain't the one. You know what I mean? So I think that's all that was. Again, I think I'm glad that Derek Carr reacted the way he did. But I also think that it's important that he moves on. Don't get caught up in this mess, man. Just move on. Let it be now. It'll be in the news for a day or two. But it's time to get back to work. All right, Q. Peace.
Great call right there from my man John Tran out the ATL. Of course, Most Known Unknown from Philly. Regan in Montana, Whiskey in the Jersey Shore, Cooley in Phoenix, Arizona, Daryl in L.A., and WAP all join me today on the Locked On Raiders podcast. Definitely appreciate all the feedback, all the love. Your opinions are great, so I definitely appreciate that. And next time I talk to you, it'll be on Monday, and I will be in Atlanta. A lot of moving and shaking is going to take place, but we're still going to have a lot of fun. So the next time I talk to you, it will be January 28th, and I'll be in the ATL, and I'll bring you everything that I got. So until next time, Raider Nation, as always, just win, baby.